Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Martin Morse Wooster, and we're going to be talking about an article he wrote for the Capital Resource Center back in Washington, D.C., going into the background of the Ford Foundation. And, of course, a few minutes ago, we were talking about the great tax-exempt foundations. I don't think most Americans have any idea of really how dangerous these foundations are to the survival of Western civilization. Would you like to pick up on that thought, Mr. Wooster, and how did you happen to actually be writing about the Ford Foundation? Mr. Wooster?
Yeah?
Okay. I was just asking how it was that you happened to be writing about the Ford Foundation.
Well, I've done a lot of writing about the Ford Foundation over the years for the Capital Research Center, where I'm a visiting fellow. And we thought that no one had really looked at what the Ford Foundation was doing overseas. And since they spend more money on overseas activities than any other foundation except for the Gates Foundation, they asked me to take a careful look at what Ford was doing, which was why I wrote the article.
Well, now, of course, you're talking about them spending about $600 million, it was the year, 2001, that they spent that money?
Yes, there aren't really any good figures since then. Ford lost $1 billion of its endowment in the recession of 2001. Their endowment shrank from $6 billion to $5 billion. So they spent less in 2002, and figures since then aren't available, but I suspect they probably spent about $400 million in 2003.
All right, fine. Well, now, why don't you cover some of the things that they're spending money for overseas? Because, of course, they're supposed to be, spending things. Most people, I think, are a little offended when we find out that they're funding terrorist organizations.
Yes, and in fact, although let's be clear, it isn't that they are funding terrorist organizations, that they were funding Palestinian organizations who refused to deny that they were terrorist organizations.
All right, fine. Well, I
know that's the caveat, but that's what the evidence shows. I followed up on a series that an investigative journalist named Edwin Black did last year, just looking at the Ford Foundation and Palestinian groups, and he found that Ford was giving about $2 million a year to Palestinian groups. Since 9/11, the U.S. government has required that any nonprofit overseas that gets U.S. money has to certify that none of the money is being spent on terrorism.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest this afternoon is Mr. Martin Wooster, and we're talking about an article he's written for the Capital Research Center on the Ford Foundation. And, of course, the Ford Foundation is a very liberal foundation that has gross assets somewhere. Well, they had about $6 billion, and they seem to be down to $5 billion now, but they are, at least in the last year we can track, they're giving, at 19, of course, this was the year 2001, they were giving money to certain Palestinian organizations which refused to deny that they were involved in terrorist activities. Would that be the fair statement to make?
Yeah, that would be the fair statement. It's, you can't say directly that Ford was funding terror, but what happened as a result of Edwin Black's articles is 29 members of Congress, led by Congressman Nadler of New York, threatened a congressional investigation of Ford because they thought, with some justification, that Ford money was being used to fund enemies of Israel. Ford backed down and now says that it requires its grantees to sign statements that they are not using their money on terrorism. They did not take back any of the money they spent on Palestinian groups except for one group known as LAW, which was so corrupt that the Palestinian Authority had its head arrested because they were using Ford money and the money from other international donors, basically on high living and corruption.
Was that the organization that lent one of the people on the board about $400,000+ for
yes.
personal use?
Yes, they lent this guy whose name was Quadra Skirak $400,000, which nobody knows what he spent it on.
Now, but of course, this really is American taxpayers' money. This is money that should have been taxed. It was never taxed. It's accumulated because it has a tax-exempt status. And here it's being given to somebody, an organization that's lending over $400,000 to a member of its board with no security.
Right. I mean, that's definitely outrageous. And it was so outrageous that even the Ford Foundation cut off its grants, but all the other Palestinians...
Hold that thought right now. We're going to bring our other stations right on here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon. This is Martin Wooster. We're talking about the Ford Foundation actually lending money to one Palestinian organization that was so generous with the money they got from the Ford Foundation that they lent over $400,000 simply to a member of the board. That even incensed the people on the Ford Foundation. Even that was a little bit too liberal for them. So apparently they did cease funding that Palestinian organization, didn't they?
Yes, what's clear is this member of the board, Ford liked him so much that they gave him personally a grant to spend a year studying international relations at Harvard. And he also used Ford money to study English at Boston University, probably so he could better able to communicate with all these American foundations that were giving him money. So what I did after I looked at the Palestinian situation is went back and studied a conference that the UN held in 2001 called the World Conference Against Racism. And this was, I think your audience is probably familiar with bad things that the United Nations does. This was a United Nations conference that was supposed to be fighting racism around the world. The Ford Foundation spent $15 million on this conference. This conference was so anti-American that the U.S. delegation walked out in protest. The Europeans nearly walked out in protest because they were about to be condemned for slavery that happened 300 years before, which would leave them open to a lot of lawsuits from trial lawyers who would love to get their hands into European nations' budgets. The delegates did try to claim that Israel was practicing apartheid. They didn't do that, but they came pretty close. And Ford spent a great deal of money funding American leftists and giving them a free trip to South Africa and putting them up in, you know, 3 or 4 star lodgings and, you know, so they could network with their fellow leftists around the world and figure out, you know, new ways to plot against America.
Yeah, this is really nothing new for the Ford Foundation. They've been doing this sort of thing for the last 50 years.
Yeah, in different forms. I mean, Ford has always had a big international presence, and in fact, I have a book that's coming out from the Hudson Institute on philanthropic mistakes, and about half the book is about Ford.
Well, I think you're very kind to call them mistakes. I have sort of a feeling that maybe they don't make many mistakes. I think they know exactly what they're doing, but perhaps they are making mistakes.
Well, I think they know what they're doing, but I'm trying to be a fair-minded historian.
All right. Well, as a historian, you have to be more fair-minded than I. I'm a little brass. At 75, you can say what you think, way you feel it. I've been at this for 40 years, and I've tracked them for the last 40 years. So, you know, I have very, very few misgivings that they are really dedicated to the preservation of America. I think they've always been dedication to the destruction of it. Now, one of the things you point out is all the money they put into the world birth control and population control and International Planned Parenthood, which is,
yes.
And of course, all of these organizations, which are working just at loggerheads with the current American policy.
Yes. I mean, specifically, the U.S. cut off funding to a lot of international organizations because they promote abortion and birth control. Specifically, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, Planned Parenthood of the U.S., the International Women's Health Coalition, and lots of other groups. Ford funds these organizations, and then they sometimes use these funds to rail against the U.S. for not giving them government money. I think this is one of the few government cutbacks that's happened in the Bush administration, but they have been cut out of funds that they got in the Clinton administration.
All right, but then, of course, they get their money from the Ford Foundation, so none of them are really hurting. International Planned Parenthood has been working with the Chinese communists under one-child policy since they began that back in a long, long time ago. So we can thank International Planned Parenthood for pushing that program in communist China that is creating this tremendous situation where you've got all these men that will never be able to get a wife.
Yes, that's certainly true, and Ford has been a very generous patron of Planned Parenthood over the years. It's also been very generous with other population control groups, and also feminist groups who want to get the UN to create laws that would implement affirmative action, equal pay, mandatory quotas of women on all international organizations and that sort of thing. I'm not sure how far they've gone because, again, you know, it's hard to tell when the UN is actually doing something since, thankfully, they spend most of their time spinning their wheels and sucking up taxpayer dollars. But I thought that it was interesting that Ford would fund this, because Ford has also been very committed to feminism over the years, including abortion and birth control. And they have funded people who, specifically a guy named Russell McGuire at Marquette University, who has said that the one-child policy in China was a good idea, and who are we to complain about it? So that's also something else that Ford has done.
Well, I think that what they're really doing is funding these programs that aimed at really dramatically reducing the world's population, and it is having an effect throughout the world. I mean, they brought, for instance, in Bangladesh, the average woman that no longer has 6 children, she has 3. In other areas, why they're 2, and certainly we can see in Italy, 1.2 children, France, 1.4 children per family. In France, they're actually paying people to have children, because Europe's dying off, but we never hear about this. All we get is this constant drumbeat of, oh, the world's going to end because, you know, there's just too many people. Well, the Muslims are increasing rapidly, and the Western civilization is committing suicide, in my estimation.
Well, I think you certainly have a point there, and Ford has certainly, since about 1960, done their part in advancing organizations that have lobbied to reduce the global birth rate. But let me say one thing about Ford and why it's hard to keep track of what Ford is doing. In the 50s and 60s, they were very overt about what they were doing, and there were lots of articles about them. And then there were, of course, you remember Congressman Patman's investigations in the late 60s.
Wright Patman,
and the Tax Reform Act of 1969. Ever since then, Ford has been very quiet about what they do. They don't seek publicity. They try to pretend they're a small foundation, even though they're the third biggest foundation in the U.S. and therefore the world. You know, it's very hard, for example, population control funding. There is no one section of Ford that gives money for population control. Therefore, I can tell you what they give to some groups, but I can't tell you how much they give to population control because Ford deliberately divides it between what they fund in order so that it's very hard to find out that particular answer. But, you know, and Ford's largest single grant this century was to the Kennedy School for a program on reinventing government, which, to be fair, gives some money to things that actually do reduce government somewhat. It's unusual for Ford, but in any case, the point is they gave $50 million to the Kennedy School, but it's not the Ford program on so-and-so. It's the Roy Ash program on so-and-so, because Roy Ash ended up buying the naming rights, so people think he's the one who's funding it and not Ford.
And I think the thing is that they do not want the American people to know that they have a radical left agenda. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's absolutely true. They would prefer, I think, that journalists not cover them and not keep up with what they're doing.
In fact, the book we have on this, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, I talked to the original publisher of this. He said that everything was done to prevent this book from getting out. There was a publisher of Devon and Dare. I talked to him
right
back in 1980. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and we'll invite your questions at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Martin Wooster, and we're talking about the Ford Foundation. If you have any question at all, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And the Ford Foundation, as with several of our other major foundations, seem to have an agenda. They don't like the society we live in. They want to change it and reformat into their view of how the world should be. And, of course, with the tremendous amounts of money at their disposal, they can be a very effective force. Now, is there anything else we should talk about as far as their international policies before we get to Ford Foundation's domestic policies?
One program that I'd mention in passing is the Ford Foundation set up a multi-year, multi-million dollar international fellowship program in 2001. And their goal was to find emerging leaders around the world and give them Ford fellowships for a year and perhaps indoctrinate them in Ford's doctrine and then send them back to their government so they could rise through the organizations and maybe in 20 or 30 years head countries or do things according to the Ford view of the world.
Sure, men like Kofi Annan, like the Secretary General of the United Nations, wasn't he a Ford Foundation scholar?
Yes. Kofi Annan got a Ford Foundation fellowship in 1959, and he went to McAllister College, which is perhaps best known as the place where Paul Wellstone taught government before he was elected to the U.S. Senate. That probably gives you a sense of where they are politically. Annan spent 2 years at McAllister on a Ford Foundation fellowship, and then he got a Carnegie Corporation grant to go to graduate school. And because he got into the right graduate school thanks to the Carnegie money, he then became an international bureaucrat, and 40 years later, the head of the UN. So if Ford can fund a guy as a graduate student who can become head of the United Nations once, who knows if that'll happen again. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. But they're very committed to sort of trying to fund emerging leaders now and spending relatively modest but crucial amounts on them because, of course, students need money and Ford has it. And I would expect the payback would be, well, the payback that Kofi Annan gave, which was sort of having people that are committed to world government and to increasing socialism, which has always been part of Ford's agenda.
Well, I remember, of course, it was back in 1994 when the slaughter of the genocide in Rwanda was imminent, and the commanding officer there, who was a Canadian general, pleaded with Kofi Annan, who was in charge of that division, to let him intervene. He could have stopped the slaughter. And, of course, Kofi Annan, coming from the Ford Foundation's training, said, no, you are not to intervene. Well, that officer eventually became an alcoholic because he realized he was really responsible for the murder of 800,000 people. But he was just following the orders of a graduate of the Ford Foundation's educational program.
Right, right. That's sort of the Ford Foundation's view of peace at any price, which has proven disastrous over the years. But I think, your listeners should realize that Ford is committed to this, and they've spent a great deal of money with an organization called the Institute for International Education to provide these scholarships and get people around the world tell them what Ford's view is on various things.
All right, fine. Well, when we get back here, why, of course, we'll invite your calls. We have Mike waiting from Arizona to talk to you, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century.
The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me once again mention the book that we have kept in print for the last 30 years. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And if there's one book you're going to read, I suggest you read this, because once you begin to understand that the great tax-exempt foundations have been funding everything which is the antithesis of Americanism, ever bigger government, and they did this by taking over our educational system. They did this by working to change the status of our military, by purchasing and then republishing the Encyclopedia Britannica and having it rewritten so that the part on socialism was written by a socialist, and the part on communism was written by a communist, and the part on capitalism and free enterprise was written by a communist. So everything would be slanted, and people would not have the ability to go to an encyclopedia and get an impartial approach to what's going on today. Foundations, Their Power and Influence, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and that's why we've kept it in print, and why we hope that many of you out there will want to get it. You can get it by itself, or as part of the Tragedy and Hope special, along with the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, written by Bill Clinton's mentor, a book that was so revealing that somebody came in and bought up the Macmillan publisher and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And if that story sounds incredible, why, of course, if you get the Tragedy and Hope special, you'll actually get the interview with Professor Quigley, where you'll hear him in his own voice, in his own words, telling how his book was actively suppressed. You can get that, of course, separately in the Secret Government 4-tape set, but give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and get either Foundations, Their Power and Influence, or get the Tragedy and Hope special, which is the book Foundations, Tragedy and Hope, and the interview with Professor Carol Quigley. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Martin Wooster. And, of course, we're talking about the interview, that the article he had written for the Capital Research Institute, Terry Scanlon's organization back in Washington, D.C. And we've got Mike calling us from Arizona. Hi, Mike. How are you doing? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. I'd like to know how... I don't think Ford was, Henry Ford was not an internationalist to my knowledge. How did these internationalists get control, and who exactly is it that got control of the Ford Foundation?
All right, fine. That's a legitimate question. Of course, you obviously have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, have you?
I have.
You have?
I don't remember you mentioning Ford, how the Ford Foundation was taken over, though.
All right, fine. Well, you go back and read my section on Henry Ford. Anyway, how would you respond to Mike's question?
Well, I discuss this in my book, The Great Philanthropist and the Problem of Donor Intent, which the Capital Research Center publishes.
All right. Is that a book available now?
Yes, it is.
All right.
And if you go on the web to capitalresearch.org, you can order it online or call 202-483-6900 for a copy.
All right, give that title again.
It's The Great Philanthropist and the Problem of Donor Intent. Donor intent is what happens when you die and you leave your money to a foundation who then ignores what you believe in and what you're trying to do. In the case of the Ford Foundation, Henry Ford set up the Ford Foundation as a tax avoidance measure.
Mm-hmm.
He did this because estate taxes would have wiped out most of the money that would have gone into the Ford Foundation. He thought that Franklin Roosevelt imposed these estate taxes specifically to get him, and that is probably true. He left no instructions about what to do with the money, which was a major mistake. People who were hired to look at what Henry Ford's ideas were claimed that they hadn't the foggiest idea of what to do with the money, and Henry Ford II, who was fairly liberal but quit the Ford Foundation board in the 70s when it became too anti-free market, signed a document in 1948 that said that the Ford family would have no more control over the Ford Foundation than any other member of the board. So he, in effect, said, we're not going to stop you, although he was in substantial agreement with a lot of what Ford was doing. If they had followed Henry Ford's ideas, and Henry Ford II said this in at least three occasions, that what his grandfather's ideas were, they would have put a lot of money into the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, which is a big hospital that helps poor people in Detroit, into Greenfield Village, which Henry Ford admired, and they might have just kept the money in Michigan. But what Henry Ford's mistake was not leaving explicit instructions about what to do about the money. And when you do that, usually it ends up being taken over by the left. This is also true with John D. MacArthur and the MacArthur Foundation, with Andrew Carnegie and the Carnegie Corporation.
Although Carnegie was a leftist from the outset.
No, he wasn't.
Or a statist.
No. Andrew Carnegie was a firm believer in the free market. He was left-wing on international issues, but he was somebody, if you look at his works, I mean, he said in the Gospel of Wealth that people should give money to the poor in order to prevent socialism. He said that explicitly.
Well, yeah, but he did contradictory things, just as Ford did. I mean, he also bought into the internationalist ideas of Rhodes and the idea of the reunified British Empire.
Yeah, that's in the book Triumphant Democracy. Okay, anything else you want to say, Mike?
Yeah, well, just as Ford himself was something of an enigma. I mean, he supported Hitler because he wanted to fight the Bolshevism, which was largely a Russian-Jewish phenomenon, those Jews who had immigrated to Germany after World War I brought their Bolshevism with them. But then at the same time, he also helped Stalin build Ford factories, that, as you point out, Stan, eventually were used to fight our men in Vietnam.
The big Ford plant at Gorky, in fact, they were building all the major truck manufacturers there. One of the two major truck centers was the Ford plant at Gorky. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Mike.
Thank you both.
Let's go to Terrence, who's calling from Hollywood. Hi, Terrence.
Hi, I'm interested in hearing about the Ford Foundation, their connection to CIA, and their funding of Pacifica, because Pacifica doesn't really talk about 9/11 complicity, Democracy Now, Amy Goodman. They don't really bring it up, and I hear that a Ford Foundation has funding there. I'll take my
answer. All right, fine. Have you heard anything at all about the Ford Foundation funding Pacifica?
I have to say, I don't know anything about this and can't say one way or the other. I mean,
I really can't either. So
the Ford Foundation is a big organization, and I'm just one guy. I can't look at if I looked at everything Ford did, I wouldn't have time to write about anything else.
Well, I have to depend on you to find that out because I don't have time to do it myself. So I was sort of hoping you'd check all those things out for us. Anyway, thank you so very much for calling, Terrence. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. I wondered if your guest has any idea why the Ford Foundation wanted us to see Schindler's List so bad that they paid for all that airtime nationwide.
Were they the ones who actually funded that when it was put on as a motion picture on television?
Right.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I can't say that that's not true, but I, it doesn't seem plausible to me. I'm not saying that they haven't done it because I don't know, but it doesn't seem plausible that they don't usually spend money on major TV buys.
Now, of course,
the thing is, they did it. I'm just wondering why.
Mike, was this the Ford Foundation or Ford Motor Company?
It might have been Ford Motor Company, which has nothing to do with the Ford Foundation.
Are you sure it was Ford Foundation rather than Ford Motor Company?
Well, I might have to go find out.
Well, why don't you check that out and then let me know, will you?
Okay.
I think that's an important issue,
yeah,
if they really did. But we, in this business, the one thing we have is our credibility. And as you know, that Martin Wooster is very careful in what he says. Because if he says something isn't true, he could say everything else that is true. And then, of course, the one thing that would come back to get him on would be a one slight mistake he might have made. So in this business, your integrity and your reliability is the one thing you have. Let's go to John, who's calling from Los Angeles. Are you listening there on shortwave or the Internet, John?
Well, I try to listen to the Internet, but it's very intermittent. Sometimes it's comes through, and other times it's disrupted pretty severely.
All right. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to ask what determines what people control these foundations and how much their activities can deviate from even their founder's purpose?
All right. The question is, can these people do anything they want to? Can they completely ignore their founder's purpose and do what they want to do?
Well, legally, no. In practicality, it depends on how brazen they are. Again, with the Ford Foundation, Henry Ford left no instructions, which leaves the Ford Foundation free to spend money on whatever it wants. There are no restrictions. Sometimes other donors put in more restrictions. The classic horrible example is the Pew Charitable Trust, which the Pews, specifically J. Howard Pew and his brother Joseph Pew, were great believers in the free market and capitalism. And J. Howard Pew left money specifically saying that his money should be used to fight the welfare state and support religion and virtue. The Pew Charitable Trusts are mostly a liberal organization, and they just ignore what J. Howard Pew said, and they quote J. Howard Pew II, who claims that the Pew Charitable Trusts are upholding what J. Howard Pew wanted, and I've shown repeatedly that that's not true, and they've never denied anything I've written. They've just spent a lot of money trying to hide the fact that they're ignoring the wishes of their founders. But usually, if a donor leaves strong, explicit instructions about what he wants to do, there's a better than average chance that a foundation will follow it. But the best thing a donor can do is spend the money in his lifetime or set up a foundation with a term limit, because the longer lived a foundation is, the more likely it is to abandon the ideas of their founders.
Good point. John, do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, I was wondering how one gains control of a foundation. I mean, what determines which people actually guide these or direct these foundations?
Well, there's usually an indenture or will that sets up who can be elected to the board and who can run it. And usually a donor leaves money, puts his friends and his associates or people who knew him on the board. it's only when they retire that things start to go bad. But usually there are fairly good rules about who runs a foundation and who's on its board.
But unfortunately, so often happens is the liberals are very, very dedicated. They realize the benefit of having large sums of money to push their agenda, and they may even pretend to be very responsible and conservative till they get the power, and then everything changes. And we see total transformation of the thrust of many of these major corporations from what they were intended to be to what they've become, and that is undermining the very fabric of our free enterprise system.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I usually have a rule that people who make money that are left of foundations tend to be conservative because they've been entrepreneurs who've been successful in the free market. People who run foundations tend to be liberal because, again, it's inherited wealth. It's something that they didn't have to work to get a hold of, and therefore they end up spending it on liberal causes. Because, again, there's also a lot of groupthink.
I'm gonna put John over to you and ask him if he's on GCN or Radio Liberty. Okay, fine, John. Look, thank you so very much for calling. I'm going to just put you on hold. I want my producer to speak to you for a minute, okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Very good. And right now we've got John on hold, and we've got Mike. This is a different Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. I'm joined late, so I was just checking the Ford Foundation. Do they still receive funds from the Ford Motor Company?
No. Henry Ford left Ford Motor shares to the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation sold them beginning in 1956. There's no connection between Ford Motor and the Ford Foundation other than that, you know, the same guy created both organizations. I don't even believe that there are any members of the Ford family on the Ford Foundation board.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
Oh, no, thanks.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, we've just got a couple of minutes before we have to let you go. And, of course, are there any other things that they're doing domestically that are impacting on our society? Are they involved in education, universities? Are they involved in using education to create a socialist America?
Well, I have another Capital Research paper, which listeners can find on the web at capitalresearch.org, on Ford Foundation's domestic activities. And one thing that they did was the Supreme Court's decision last year upholding affirmative action. The Ford Foundation spent about $5 million to left-wing groups who were lobbying the court, to the University of Michigan, who was the defendant in these cases, so that they could prepare their cases before the court, on conferences so that people who supported affirmative action could network. And that was a decision that was bought and paid for by Ford.
But, of course, I thought our judges were independent. They were interpreting the Constitution. Are they subject to lobbying just like our congressman, the finest congressman that money can buy?
Perish the thought. I mean, goodness. But, yes, they not directly. It's not the same thing as lobbying a congressman for a bill, but Ford did everything they could to preserve affirmative action, which is something they devoutly believe in, and their efforts paid off. But again, the only persons who can speak at a Supreme Court hearing are, you know, the lawyers for the case, but the lawyers were prepared by Ford and used Ford-funded arguments, and Ford did a lot of lobbying and funding of other groups that submitted Friends of the Court briefs. So they did everything they could, basically.
All right. Well, the tragic situation we've got is we have almost like a ruling elite, an establishment that is directing our laws, is influencing our elected legislature, and we need to have a government that represents the people rather than these large accumulations of wealth. Well, Martin Wooster, thank you so very much for being with us. Hopefully we can get you back. Maybe we could even get a copy of that book of yours the great philanthropies, and of course we could talk about that, I'm sure, at great length. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having
me. Bye-bye, and God bless. Okay, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed the program. A little different, but I think it's an important subject. And, of course, if you don't have a copy of my book, A Brotherhood of Darkness, and the book Foundations, The Power and Influence, you need very seriously to get them so you can understand what's really going on behind the scenes in the world today. Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just say that we have not only a 4-tape set on the JFK assassination, we have a JFK assassination special. And it includes actually 2 4-tape sets. The second 4-tape set includes an interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, a woman who was with him for 20 or more years. And she describes the meeting that was held the night before the assassination, where this was all planned out and where, well, it's fascinating to know who's at that meeting. That certainly is worth the price of the entire tape set, but there's a great deal of wonderful information in not only the JFK assassination tapes, where you'll hear Lee Harvey Oswald interviewed, but our JFK assassination tape upset update, and then, of course, the other books and the material that comes with the JFK assassination special. So hopefully you'd like to get copies of this or available. Or the set is $69.95. We pay the postage. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the JFK special. And if you do that, and we'll throw in a copy of the book Regicide. You mention that when you call in. You want a free copy of the book Regicide if you order the JFK assassination special, supposedly based upon the papers of the man in the CIA who planned and carried out the assassination. So the information is there. We hope you'll get it and then help us to disseminate it across America, because if they could kill an American president and get away with it, and there's no question that both the CIA and the FBI were working together to conceal the truth from the American people, simply the course of the magic bullet should convince anybody that we've been lied to, especially since you'll hear my interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who saw them debriding the parts of the metal from Governor Connally, and then the bullet reconstituted itself. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we are able to do it. We do 5 hours a day. Then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1 800 5 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And I think you'd probably want to ask for our May-June newsletter. We'll have it available in a couple of days. You're just finishing it up. And if you haven't got your newsletter for May, well, that's because we had to combine it into 2 months. I got so far behind, but I'll tell you, you'll learn things about Osama bin Laden you'll never read any other place. And maybe you really understand what happened on September 11th. Most people think that they saw it on television, so it must have been true. Well, there's a lot more to this story than you've been told, and there's a conscious effort to confuse you, giving you contradictory information from so many sources to the point where you finally end up not knowing quite what to believe because everybody is telling a different story. And it's not happening by accident. That's the way it's supposed to be. People keep people confused, and they can't see the forest for the trees. So I think maybe you'll enjoy our May-June letter. We'll be glad to send you free of charge if you're a subscriber, of course. It'll be coming here before very long, and then we'll be starting on our July newsletter. Now, we have wonderful four-tape sets on money, so many subjects, but one of course, my favorite subjects is a book I've read 40 years ago that changed my life. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And if you haven't read it, you really must get it to understand the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and what they've been doing for the last 50 years. And that is trying to so alter life in America that one day we could be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. That's what it was all about. And, of course, if you have never heard my interview with Norman Dodd, who is the director of research for the Rees Committee, which, of course, is what this whole book, The Foundations of Their Power and Influence, is based upon, why you'll hear, you need to get our four tapes out on the secret government, and you'll hear Norman Dodd saying how he was told by Rowan Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation, the purpose of the Ford Foundation was to so alter life in America that one day we could be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. And, of course, that will explain all the things that are going on today. But, you see, most of the young people who are investigating this today don't know the history. They're not old enough to remember the past or to have interviewed many of the people that I have, the presidents of nations or the ambassadors or the four-star generals or the historians that we've had an opportunity to talk to through the years and be able to begin to put this whole incredible story together of the Brotherhood of Darkness. So if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. You need to get Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which we've kept in print. And we hope, of course, that you'll read those books, and then, of course, you'll be better able to explain to others what's going on today. Because we're moving away from freedom, that we're moving towards a fascist society, and this will not simply be fascism in America, it will be all throughout the world. We're moving towards a surveillance society. The American people are willing to give up their freedom in the name of fighting terrorism, because we know we're involved in a war on terrorism only if we're involved in a war on terrorism. Why is it that the Bush administration, according to a recent report released by the Council on Foreign Relations, has not brought pressure to bear on Saudi Arabia to stop funding the Al-Qaeda terrorists? And if you want the documentation on that, you give us a call and ask for that article out of the New York Times, of all places. Why haven't we sealed our borders? Why haven't we armed our police? Why haven't we reinforced the doors on our plane so that they really would be able to withhold back a terrorist? Why have they not got marshals on most of our planes? Why are we not protecting our chemical plants across America? Why is it, of course, there have been no major attacks in the United States since September 11th? Is that because our intelligence organizations, which are so incompetent that they had no idea of what was going on before, have suddenly become very, very competent and now able to protect us? Well, they've known exactly what was going on all along. They just didn't know, want you to know. That's why we arrested most of the terrorists in America right after September 11th. They're just being convicted now. Bye-bye. God bless you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Martin Morse Wooster, and we're going to be talking about an article he wrote for the Capital Resource Center back in Washington, D.C., going into the background of the Ford Foundation. And, of course, a few minutes ago, we were talking about the great tax-exempt foundations. I don't think most Americans have any idea of really how dangerous these foundations are to the survival of Western civilization. Would you like to pick up on that thought, Mr. Wooster, and how did you happen to actually be writing about the Ford Foundation? Mr. Wooster?
Yeah?
Okay. I was just asking how it was that you happened to be writing about the Ford Foundation.
Well, I've done a lot of writing about the Ford Foundation over the years for the Capital Research Center, where I'm a visiting fellow. And we thought that no one had really looked at what the Ford Foundation was doing overseas. And since they spend more money on overseas activities than any other foundation except for the Gates Foundation, they asked me to take a careful look at what Ford was doing, which was why I wrote the article.
Well, now, of course, you're talking about them spending about $600 million, it was the year, 2001, that they spent that much?
Yes, there aren't really any good figures since then. Ford lost $1 billion of its endowment in the recession of 2001. Their endowment shrank from $6 billion to $5 billion. So they spent less in 2002, and figures since then aren't available, but I suspect they probably spent about $400 million in 2003.
All right, fine. Well, now, why don't you cover some of the things that they're spending money for overseas? Because, of course, they're supposed to be, spending things. Most people, I think, are a little offended when we find out that they're funding terrorist organizations.
Yes, and in fact, although let's be clear, it isn't that they are funding terrorist organizations, that they were funding Palestinian organizations who refused to deny that they were terrorist organizations.
All right, fine. Well, I
know that's a caveat, but that's what the evidence shows. I followed up on a series that an investigative journalist named Edwin Black did last year, just looking at the Ford Foundation and Palestinian groups. And he found that Ford was giving about $2 million a year to Palestinian groups. Since 9/11, the U.S. government has required that any nonprofit overseas that gets U.S. money has to certify that none of the money is being spent on terrorism.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest this afternoon is Mr. Martin Wooster, and we're talking about an article he's written for the Capital Research Center on the Ford Foundation. And, of course, the Ford Foundation is a very liberal foundation that has a gross assets somewhere. Well, they had about $6 billion, and they seem to be down to $5 billion now, but they are, at least in the last year we can track their giving. At 19, of course, this was the year 2001, they were giving money to certain Palestinian organizations which refused to deny that they were involved in terrorist activities. Would that be the fair statement to make?
Yeah, that would be the fair statement. It's, you can't say directly that Ford was funding terror, but what happened as a result of Edwin Black's articles is 29 members of Congress, led by Congressman Nadler of New York, threatened a congressional investigation of Ford because they thought, with some justification, that Ford money was being used to fund enemies of Israel. Ford backed down and now says that it requires its grantees to sign statements that they are not using their money on terrorism. They did not take back any of the money they spent on Palestinian groups, except for one group known as LAW, which was so corrupt that the Palestinian Authority had its head arrested because they were using Ford money and the money from other international donors, basically on high living and corruption.
Was that the organization that lent one of the people on the board about $400,000+
yes,
for personal use?
Yes, they lent this guy whose name was Quadr Skirak $400,000, which nobody knows what he spent it on.
Now, but of course, this really is American taxpayers' money. This is money that should have been taxed. It was never taxed. It's accumulated because it has a tax-exempt status. And here it's being given to somebody, an organization that's lending over $400,000 to a member of its board with no security.
Right. I mean, that's definitely outrageous. And it was so outrageous that even the Ford Foundation cut off its grants, but all the other Palestinians...
Hold that thought right now. We're going to bring our other stations right on here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Martin Wooster. We're talking about the Ford Foundation actually lending money to one Palestinian organization that was so generous with the money they got from the Ford Foundation that they lent over $400,000 simply to a member of the board. That even incensed the people on the Ford Foundation. Even that was a little bit too liberal for them. So apparently they did cease funding that Palestinian organization, didn't they?
Yes, and what's clear is this member of the board, Ford liked him so much that they gave him personally a grant to spend a year studying international relations at Harvard. And he also used Ford money to study English at Boston University, probably so he could better able to communicate with all these American foundations that were giving him money. So what I did after I looked at the Palestinian situation is went back and studied a conference that the UN held in 2001 called the World Conference Against Racism. And this was, I think your audience is probably familiar with bad things that the United Nations does. This was a United Nations conference that was supposed to be fighting racism around the world. The Ford Foundation spent $15 million on this conference. This conference was so anti-American that the U.S. delegation walked out in protest. The Europeans nearly walked out in protest because they were about to be condemned for slavery that happened 300 years before, which would leave them open to a lot of lawsuits from trial lawyers who would love to get their hands into European nations' budgets. The delegates did try to claim that Israel was practicing apartheid. They didn't do that, but they came pretty close. And Ford spent a great deal of money funding American leftists and giving them a free trip to South Africa and putting them up in, you know, 3 or 4 star lodgings and, you know, so they could network with their fellow leftists around the world and figure out, you know, new ways to plot against America.
And, of course, this is really nothing new for the Ford Foundation. They've been doing this sort of thing for the last 50 years.
Yeah, in different forms. I mean, yeah, Ford has always had a big international presence. And, in fact, I have a book that's coming out from the Hudson Institute on philanthropic mistakes, and about half the book is about Ford.
Well, I think you're very kind to call them mistakes. I have sort of a feeling that maybe they don't make many mistakes. I think they know exactly what they're doing, but perhaps they are making mistakes.
Well, I think they know what they're doing, but I'm trying to be a fair-minded historian.
All right. Well, as a historian, you have to be more fair-minded than I. I'm a little brash. At 75, you can say what you think, way you feel. And I've been at this for 40 years, and I've tracked them for the last 40 years. So, you know, I have very, very few misgivings that they are really dedicated to the preservation of America. I think they've always been dedication to the destruction of it. Now, one of the things you point out is all the money they put into the world birth control and population control and International Planned Parenthood, which is,
yeah.
And of course, all of these organizations, which are working just at loggerheads with the current American policy.
Yes, I mean, specifically, the U.S. cut off funding to a lot of international organizations because they promote abortion and birth control. Specifically, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, Planned Parenthood of the U.S., the International Women's Health Coalition, and lots of other groups. Ford funds these organizations, and then they sometimes use these funds to rail against the U.S. for not giving them government money. I think this is one of the few government cutbacks that's happened in the Bush administration, but they have been cut out of funds that they got in the Clinton administration.
All right, but then, of course, they get their money from the Ford Foundation, so none of them are really hurting. International Planned Parenthood has been working with the Chinese communists under one-child policy since they began that back in a long, long time ago. So we can thank International Planned Parenthood for pushing that program in communist China that is creating this tremendous situation where you've got all these men that will never be able to get a wife.
Yes, that's certainly true, and Ford has been a very generous patron of Planned Parenthood over the years. It's also been very generous with other population control groups, and also feminist groups who want to get the UN to create laws that would implement affirmative action, equal pay, the mandatory quotas of women on all international organizations and that sort of thing. I'm not sure how far they've gone because, again, you know, it's hard to tell when the UN is actually doing something since, thankfully, they spend most of their time spinning their wheels and sucking up taxpayer dollars. But I thought that it was interesting that Ford would fund this because Ford has also been very committed to feminism over the years, including abortion and birth control. And they have funded people who, specifically a guy named Russell McGuire at Marquette University, who has said that the one-child policy in China was a good idea, and who are we to complain about it? So that's also something else that Ford has done.
Well, I think that what they're really doing is funding these programs that aimed at really dramatically reducing the world's population, and it is having an effect throughout the world. I mean, they brought, for instance, in Bangladesh, the average woman that no longer has 6 children, she has 3. In other areas, why they're 2, and certainly we can see in Italy, 1.2 children, in France, 1.4 children per family. In France, they're actually paying people to have children, because Europe's dying off, but we never hear about this. All we get is this constant drumbeat of, oh, the world's going to end because, you know, there's just too many people. Well, the Muslims are increasing rapidly, and the Western civilization is committing suicide, in my estimation.
Well, I think you certainly have a point there, and Ford has certainly, since about 1960, done their part in advancing organizations that have lobbied to reduce the global birth rate. But let me say one thing about Ford and why it's hard to keep track of what Ford is doing. In the 50s and 60s, they were very overt about what they were doing, and there were lots of articles about them. And then there were, of course, you remember Congressman Patman's investigations in the late 60s.
Wright Patman,
and the Tax Reform Act of 1969. Ever since then, Ford has been very quiet about what they do. They don't seek publicity. They try to pretend they're a small foundation, even though they're the third biggest foundation in the U.S. and therefore the world. You know, it's very hard, for example, population control funding. There is no one section of Ford that gives money for population control. Therefore, I can tell you what they give to some groups, but I can't tell you how much they give to population control because Ford deliberately divides it between what they fund in order so that it's very hard to find out that particular answer. But, you know, and Ford's largest single grant this century was to the Kennedy School for a program on reinventing government, which, to be fair, gives some money to things that actually do reduce government somewhat. It's unusual for Ford, but in any case, the point is they gave $50 million to the Kennedy School, but it's not the Ford program on so-and-so. It's the Roy Ash program on so-and-so, because Roy Ash ended up buying the naming rights, so people think he's the one who's funding it and not Ford.
And I think the thing is that they do not want the American people to know that they have a radical left agenda. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's absolutely true. They would prefer, I think, that journalists not cover them and not keep up with what they're doing.
In fact, the book we have on this, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, I talked to the original publisher of this. He said that everything was done to prevent this book from getting out. There was a publisher of Devon and Dare. I talked to him
right.
back in 1980. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and we'll invite your questions at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Roseto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule, just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol, 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30 to 40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Martin Wooster, and we're talking about the Ford Foundation. If you have any question at all, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And the Ford Foundation, as with several of our other major foundations, seem to have an agenda. They don't like the society we live in. They want to change it and reformat into their view of how the world should be. And, of course, with tremendous amounts of money at their disposal, they can be a very effective force. Now, is there anything else we should talk about as far as their international policies before we get to Ford Foundation's domestic policies?
One program that I'd mention in passing is the Ford Foundation set up a multi-year, multi-million dollar international fellowship program in 2001. And their goal was to find emerging leaders around the world and give them Ford fellowships for a year and perhaps indoctrinate them in Ford's doctrine and then send them back to their government so they could rise through the organizations and maybe in 20 or 30 years head countries or do things according to the Ford view of the world.
Sure, men like Kofi Annan, like the
yes.
Secretary General of the United Nations, wasn't he a Ford Foundation
yes.
scholar?
Yes, I Kofi Annan got a Ford Foundation fellowship in 1959, and he went to McAllister College, which is perhaps best known as the place where Paul Wellstone taught government before he was elected to the U.S. Senate. That probably gives you a sense of where they are politically. Annan spent 2 years at McAllister on a Ford Foundation fellowship, and then he got a Carnegie Corporation grant to go to graduate school. And because he got into the right graduate school thanks to the Carnegie money, he then became an international bureaucrat and 40 years later the head of the UN. So if Ford can fund a guy as a graduate student who can become head of the United Nations once, who knows if that'll happen again? I wouldn't be surprised if it did. But they're very committed to sort of trying to fund emerging leaders now and spending relatively modest but crucial amounts on them because, of course, students need money and Ford has it. And I would expect the payback would be well, the payback that Kofi Annan gave, which was sort of having people that are committed to world government and to increasing socialism, which has always been part of Ford's agenda.
Well, I remember, of course, it was back in 1994 when the slaughter of the genocide in Rwanda was imminent, and the commanding officer there, it was a Canadian general, pleaded with Kofi Annan, who was in charge of that division, you know, to let him intervene. He could have stopped the slaughter. And, of course, Kofi Annan, coming from the Ford Foundation's training, said, no, you are not to intervene. Well, that officer eventually became an alcoholic because he realized he was really responsible for the murder of 800,000 people. But he was just following the orders of a graduate of the Ford Foundation's educational program.
Right, right. That's sort of the Ford Foundation's view of peace at any price, which has proven disastrous over the years. But I think, you know, your listeners should realize that Ford is committed to this, and they've spent a great deal of money with an organization called the Institute for International Education to provide these scholarships and get people around the world tell them what Ford's view is on various things.
All right, fine. Well, when we get back here, why, of course, we'll invite your calls. We have Mike waiting from Arizona to talk to you, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.